Good evening, dear friends. It's good to see you this evening. I'm very thankful to God for the blessing of life and that we can be here to study His holy word. I'm thankful for the wonderful weekend we've had with our young folks and the edification we've received from that. And I'm thankful that you're all here tonight to worship God and to give Him the glory that He is due. May God bless us all for being here this evening. I want to begin my lesson tonight by asking you a question. And the question is, do you know what is said to be the largest library in all the world? Brothers and sisters, the largest library in all the world is actually said to be located right here in the United States of America. It's actually said to be located in our nation's capital, in Washington, D.C. It is the world-famous Library of Congress. You see, the Library of Congress is more than two centuries old. It holds over 33 million books written in 460 languages. It features about 885 miles of shelving, 68 million manuscripts, almost 7 million pieces of music, more than 5 million maps, and more than 13 million photographs. It also acquires more than 15,000 items every single day, and of those items, about 11,000 of them are added to the library. It is truly one of the great wonders of our country. And of the world as a whole, so many millions and millions and millions of books are found in this library. But let me tell you about one book that you won't find in this library. Brothers and sisters, the one book you won't find in this library is actually a book that no man or woman can get their hands on today. It is actually a book you can't get on Amazon. You can't get it at Barnes & Noble. You can't get it at Books A Million. You can't even find this book anywhere on the internet. This is a book that no person can even see into and get a hold of today. And the reason for that is because this book is a book that belongs to God and God alone. This is a book that belongs to Jesus and Jesus alone. This is a book that He Himself writes in all the time as He sits at the right hand of God. And so let me ask you, do you know which book I am referring to tonight? The book that I am referring to tonight is called in the Bible, the Book of Life. Let me ask you something. Have you ever heard of the Book of Life before? You ever heard of the Book of Life? If so, how familiar are you with this book? How familiar are you with the contents of this book? If you don't mind, tonight in our study from the Word of God, I want us to talk about this book. I want us to talk about the Book of Life. Specifically tonight, I want to share with you at least five very important things that the Bible tells us about this book. And here's the first thing right here. The first thing I want us to understand about the Book of Life is, according to the Bible, the Book of Life is a book of names. It is a record of names. In fact, it is actually a record of the names of the people who are on a path to heaven. It is actually a record of the names of the people who are really heaven bound, as our theme this year suggests. This book, the Book of Life, has all the names of God's children, all the names of the people who serve God faithfully. And so I want you to go in your Bible to Luke chapter 10. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 19. In Luke the 10th chapter and verse number 19, here in the context, Jesus has just sent out his 70 disciples on what we refer to today as the limited commission. They've gone out to preach the word of God. And in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, once they return to him, Jesus says, Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Verse number 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Brothers and sisters, I want you to notice very carefully at what Jesus says in verse number 20. Do you see what he says in verse 20? I want you to notice how, according to Jesus Christ, right now, and even in his time, there was some writing being done in heaven. Do you see that? Notice how Jesus says that in heaven, even right now, there are some names that are being written down. In heaven, there are some names of individuals that are being recorded. Jesus says some names are being recorded in heaven. And someone says, well, where are those names being recorded in heaven? Well, I want you to go down to Philippians chapter 4. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 2. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, in verse number 2, here, the Apostle Paul is going to speak of two Christian women, two women in this church who were not getting along with each other, it appears. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. He's telling these sisters, you need to get along with each other. Live in harmony. Live in peace in the Lord Jesus. Verse number 3, indeed, true companions, I also ask you to help these women who have shared my struggle and the cause of the gospel together with Clement, also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are where? Whose names are in the book of life. Brothers and sisters, here we see exactly where the names are being recorded in heaven. You see that? Notice how here the Apostle Paul tells us that when it comes to the names of those who are heaven bound, they are being listed in the book of life. Right now in the book of life, God is keeping track of all of those who are on a path to heaven. Right now in the book of life, God is keeping track of all of his children. He's keeping track of all of those who are diligently working in his kingdom. It is in the book of life where God has a record of his people. The question is your name in this book? Is your name in the book of life right here and right now? In addition to the names of people like Euodia and Syntyche, and Clement, and Paul, and Peter, and James, and John, and Matthew, and all the other faithful servants of God that we can read about in the Bible. In addition to those folks, is your name also in this book? Is your name, was ever on your birth certificate, is it also listed in the book of life? I want to suggest that you want your name in this book. You want your name in the book of life. According to the Bible, the book of life is a book of names. It's a book of all the names of those people who are faithfully serving the Lord. It's a book of all the names of the people who are on a path to heaven. But you see, not only is this book a book of names, a second thing I think we need to say about this book, and we need to emphasize about this book is also a book of life. I don't think we need to brush that aside. I don't think we need to just blitz through that. No, this book, according to the Bible, is a book of life. That is, it is a list of the people who have received real life, spiritual life, eternal life that can only come from God himself. This is a list of the people who have received real life in their lives. And so go back to Philippians chapter 4 and notice in verse number 3, after mentioning Euodia and Syntyche and Clement and other fellow workers, Paul says their names are in the book of life. Here again, Paul's calling it a book of life. Go over to Revelation 20 in verse number 15. In Revelation 20 in verse number 15, the Apostle John writes, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Notice again how this book is called a book of life. Now go over one chapter, chapter 21, Revelation. In Revelation 21, look at verse number 27. In verse 27, it says, and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it. Here, maybe talking about coming into heaven, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Notice here how the book is not only called a book of life, but it's called the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's book of life. Why is it called the Lamb's book of life? Well, it's called the Lamb's book of life because of what we said earlier. It's because this book belongs to the Lamb. This book belongs to Jesus. This book is only made possible because of Jesus. It's only made possible because of his sacrifice on the cross. You see, this book, the book of life, contains the names of all those people who love Jesus, of all those people who honor Jesus and serve Jesus, of all those people who have had their sins washed away by his blood, by the blood of the Lamb. You see, this book is a record of all those people who have obeyed not some man-made plan of salvation. This book doesn't have people who just believe and accepted Jesus in their heart as their personal Savior. No, the people in this book have obeyed His plan of salvation, the Lamb's book plan of salvation. The people in this book have believed with all their hearts that Jesus, that He is the Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He is the Savior of the world. But they believe with all their hearts that He did die for their sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried in a tomb, but He was raised on the third day. The people in this book, they believe that Jesus raised from the dead. They believe with all their hearts that He is the Lord, that He is the Christ. That right now He is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. Those who have their names in the book of life, they believe what the Bible says about Jesus. They believe in His identity. They take seriously what He says in John 8 and verse 24, when He says, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. The people in this book, the book of life, they believe in Jesus. They believe in what He has said about His identity, but not only do they believe, the people in this book also have repented of their sins. But beyond just belief, those who are in the book of life, they have repented. That is, they have felt godly sorrow over their sins, and they've made a conscious decision to turn away from sin. That they've had a change in their minds about sin, which has led to a change in their lives. In other words, instead of continuing to walk in sin, instead of continuing to do things like lie and commit adultery and engage in drunkenness and fornication and anything else outside of the will of God, instead of walking in wickedness, the people in this book, the book of life, they walk in the Lord. They walk with Jesus. They have decided to change their lives, to live holy and pure lives before the Lord. They've repented of their sins. And you know what else they've done? They've also confessed the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, they've confessed the name of Jesus. Like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 37, the people in this book have also confessed with their mouths that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They confess what they believe about Jesus, and not only have they confessed His name, but fourthly, they've also been baptized. Oh, yes, they've been baptized, and they weren't baptized as an outward sign of inward grace. They weren't baptized just to join themselves to a church or to declare they've already been saved. No, they were baptized for the Bible reason. They were baptized for the remission of their sins. They were baptized because Jesus says in Mark 16 and verse 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Brothers and sisters, the people in this book, the book of life, they've been baptized for the purpose of receiving salvation. They've been baptized so they can have their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. They've been baptized so they can be added to His church. In fact, I want you to listen to what the Hebrew writer says. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 22, the Hebrew writer says, and he's talking to Christians here, he's talking to the people of God. He says, but you have come right now, you have come to Mount Zion. And to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, the church of Jesus, who are what? Enrolled in heaven. We're going to sing a song soon, when the roll is called up yonder. There you go. To those who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Listen carefully to what the Hebrew writer is saying here. Notice how those who are part of the Lord's church, those who are members of His kingdom, have had their names enrolled in heaven. They've had their names written down in the Lamb's book of life. Right now, they're on a path to receive what Jesus came here to die and give them. Their names are in the book of life, a book of eternal life, a book of those who have received real spiritual life that can only come from God. The book of life is a book of those who have eternal life. But not only is it a book of those who have eternal life, a third thing I want to say is the book of life is also a book of joy. Oh, yes, it's a book of joy. The Bible calls it a book of joy. And you know why it's a book of joy? It's a book of joy because those who have their names in this book, they receive real joy when they learn about that. And so listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Go back to Philippians. Look carefully at the context. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 3. Philippians chapter 4 And the verse is number 3. After mentioning Syneke and Euodia, he says in verse 3, "Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Now look at the next verse, verse 4. What does Paul say? He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Notice how after mentioning to these Christians that their names were found in the book of life, Paul tells them they needed to rejoice. Paul tells them they need to celebrate. They need to be happy about that. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. I don't believe that Paul's instructions here are in this chapter by accident. I don't believe that it is an accident that you find the Apostle Paul talking about joy right after he mentions the book of life. And in fact, listen again to what Jesus says to the 70, going back to Luke chapter 10. Go back to Luke chapter 10. Let's start the reading this time with verse 17. In Luke chapter 10 and verse number 17, in Luke 10 and verse 17, after Jesus sent out the 70, it says they returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, While you were gone, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power and all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." Verse 20, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." Listen carefully to what Jesus is saying. Listen to what he says. Again, remember the context of these verses. Remember in the context, and one of the key rules of Bible study, you got to keep verses in their context. Notice how in the context of these verses, Jesus has just sent out 70 disciples to preach the gospel. He has sent out 70 disciples to preach the word of God and to perform miracles, to cast out demons by the power of God. They have done all these things over a period of time. And once they return, once they come back to give Jesus a report of their work, they were probably surprised to see that Jesus had a report to give them. Jesus tells them that while they were gone doing the work of God, he says, "I saw something." He says, "While you were gone, I saw Satan being defeated. I saw Satan suffering some terrible blows to his cause. I saw him falling like lightning. I saw him suffering terribly because you were out doing God's work. The devil was being defeated while you were doing God's work." In fact, when it came to the miracles they performed, when it came to them being able to do things like cast out demons and handle deadly animals, Jesus told them not to rejoice about that. Jesus told them, "Don't you get hung up in all of that. Instead, you need to stop and focus on the big picture. You need to understand that in the big picture of things, there is something much happier you need to be happy about. You need to understand that because you are my servants, because you're going out doing my work, because you're putting your trust in me, your names have been recorded in heaven. Your names have been written down and inscribed in the mind of God." Jesus told them that if they want to celebrate something, they need to celebrate that. They need to rejoice in that, even above being able to perform miracles. Jesus says, "Rejoice that your names have been recorded in heaven because you're doing my work." They need to celebrate that. The question is, what about us? What about me? What about you? Brothers and sisters, if we are really the children of God, if we're really disciples, does our names being recorded in heaven right now bring us a lot of joy? I mean, is that something that we find ourselves really being happy about? Do we celebrate that all the time? I got to tell you, I can remember when I first had my name put in this book. I remember that. In fact, I can remember it like it was yesterday. It was in October of 2002. I was 19 years old. When I got up that morning, I knew I had to do it. I had to do it. I had to give my life to the Lord. I had to give up sin. I had to become a Christian. I had to be part of the Lord's church. I remember that day. I remember that feeling. And so that morning, even though the rest of my family didn't want to go to church with me, I got up and I went to church all by myself. I went to church all by myself that morning. And after an invitation song was concluded, I stood before the church and I told them I had to be baptized for the Bible reason. I told them that I wanted to get my soul right with God. I wanted to do the right thing on this day. This was my soul. I didn't want to play games anymore. And so since the church that I was meeting with on this day, they met in a hotel. They actually didn't have a building. They were meeting in a hotel. And since they were meeting in a hotel, they seemed very ill-prepared for me to want to be baptized that day. In fact, they didn't even have any clothes for me to be baptized in. I actually had to get in my car and go back home to get some clothes. I had to go back home and get some clothes to get baptized in. And thankfully, I didn't get in a car accident during that journey. Thankfully, I was able to make it back. I remember being scared to death that I may not make it back, but I made it back. And once I made it back, the preacher baptized me. He actually baptized me in a jacuzzi. And after he did that, I can still remember the feeling that I had. I can still remember being so happy, so relieved, so full of joy that if the Lord came back that day, or if I did die in a car accident on that day, I would be ready. I'll be ready to go and be with God. I will be ready for eternity. I still remember how happy I was on the day I got my soul right with God. I still remember how full of joy I was on the day my name got put in this book. The question is, do you remember the day for yourself? You remember that day? I'm pretty sure you remember that day. I'm pretty sure we all can recall the day when our names got put in the Lamb's Book of Life. The challenge, though, brothers and sisters, is to make sure we never lose that joy. The challenge, though, is to understand that no matter what we go through in our lives, no matter if we lose our jobs, no matter if we do lose a family member or a friend to death, no matter if we get real sick, no matter if somebody breaks into our house and steals everything that we have, no matter if we lose all our money to the stock market, no matter what happens to us, we got to always remember we still have a lot to be happy about. We got to always remember that we still have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to rejoice and celebrate over. No matter what happens to us, we got to always have joy in our hearts because our names have been written down in heaven. Our names have been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Book of Life is a book of joy. It is a book that brings joy to those who learn that God Himself has written their names down in heaven. But let me tell you something. Just because our names may be written down in heaven, we need to understand this fourthly. We need to understand that it doesn't mean our names can't be taken out. That doesn't mean our names can't be removed from this book. We learn that as soon as the book of Exodus. Go to Exodus chapter 32. And this is the first time the book of life is mentioned in the Bible. You should have caught this in your Bible reading. In Exodus chapter 32, this is after the incident with the golden calf. Remember the golden calf? Moses is gone for 40 days, and the Israelites start worshiping a golden calf. Start getting involved in idolatry as soon as Moses leaves. And after he comes back and he learns about this, in Exodus 32, in verse number 32, Moses is going to, he's going to talk to God about it. He's going to say in verse 32, "But now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from your book which you've written." Notice how Moses, he knew about the book of life. He knew names could be removed from the book. And in verse 33, the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." Notice how God says that during that time, he was erasing some names from the book. When it came to those Israelites who had rebelled against him, when it came to those Israelites who had sinned against him, God says, "I'm going to take their names out of the book." Names can be removed out of the book. We learn that as soon as the book of Exodus. But now go to Revelation chapter 3. And listen to what Jesus said to the church at Sardis. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus says, "He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase or blot his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Listen to what Jesus says. Notice how, according to Jesus, just because your name and just because my name may currently be in this book, that doesn't mean it can't be taken out. That doesn't mean that it can't be removed. According to Jesus, we got to understand that our names are written in this book in permanent ink. Our names are not written in this book in permanent marker. Instead, they're written down in a spiritual pencil. Instead, they can be erased. They can be blotted out. They can be removed if we don't live faithful to God. That's what Jesus says. And let me tell you something. That blows out of the water the doctrine of once saved, always saved, doesn't it? Remember, the doctrine of once saved, always saved suggests that once you get saved, once you get right with God, there's nothing you can do to be lost. You could curse Jesus. You could curse God the Father. You could spit on the Bible. You could cheat on your spouse. You could murder somebody, steal, lie, and never repent of those things. And guess what? You still can go to heaven. You're still going to be saved. There's nothing you can do to lose your salvation once you gain it. That is exactly what the doctrine of once saved, always saved suggests. But notice that's not what Jesus teaches, is it? Notice how according to Jesus, we can't lose our salvation. We can't have our names removed from the record that is found in heaven. We can't have our names erased. We can't have our names blotted out from the book of life. That's what Jesus said. According to Jesus, in this book, names can be removed. And then that brings us to the fifth and final thing I want to say about this book. And that is, finally, I want us to understand that this book will be one of the books that's going to be used on the judgment day. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 12. Let's start reading. Well, let's just start reading with verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. Listen to what the Apostle John says. Revelation 20, verse 11. He says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books," notice, "the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." What do we find going on in these verses? Well, I believe, it's my understanding that here we get a glimpse, a scene of what's going to take place on the last day, the final day, the judgment day. Notice how, according to Jesus, on the judgment day, all the dead, every person, me and you, we're all going to stand before the Lord. We're all going to stand before King Jesus, and once we do that, some books are going to be opened. Now, the first books that are going to be opened, the first books he mentions, appear to be the books we're going to be judged by as far as the law in which we lived under, or the covenant that we lived under. That's what we're going to be judged by, according to our deeds. Now, in our case, as Christians, that means we're going to be judged according to the new covenant, not the old covenant. We're going to be judged by the gospel. We're going to be judged by the New Testament law, the law that was given through Jesus Christ. In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, "The words I speak to you will judge you in the last day." Jesus says on the judgment day, we're not going to be judged by the law of Moses. We're not going to be judged by the Ten Commandments. We're going to be judged by the law of Jesus. We're going to be judged by his words, by his gospel. His gospel will be the standard of which we're going to be judged on the judgment day. On the judgment day, our lives, our deeds are going to be lined up with his covenant. But not only will his law or his covenant be opened up for us. Notice, secondly, there's another book that's going to be opened as well. That's the book of life. On the judgment day, when we stand before King Jesus, if our names are not found in the book of life, then we're going to be in a lot of trouble. We're not going to be entering into heaven on that day. We're not going to receive eternal life on that day. Instead, we're going to receive eternal death, spiritual death. We're going to be cast into the lake of fire, the Bible says. Ladies and gentlemen, that's talking about hell. That's talking about hell. You see, only those whose names are in the book of life are going to be allowed to enter into heaven on the judgment day. That's what the Bible says about this. And so let me ask us all a question. The question is, where is your name right now? The question is, right now, as you sit there in that pew at 5:45 on February the 18th, 2018, Can you honestly say that your name is found in this book? Is your name really found in the book of life tonight? I want to suggest that you know whether or not your name is found in this book. Right now, you know if you're faithfully serving God. Right now, you know if you've obeyed His plan of salvation. Right now, you know if your life is in line with the standard of Jesus. Right now, you know that when it comes to your life, and I know that when it comes to my life. We know if our names are really found in this book. And let me tell you something. If you sit there tonight and you know your name is not found in this book, if you know your name's not enrolled in heaven, then you need to do something about that. In fact, you need to do something about that tonight. Tonight, you need to make it your top priority not to leave here until your name is found in the Lamb's Book of Life. Tonight, you need to understand that it is more important that your name be found in this book than anywhere else in your life. It is more important that your name be found in this book than on a high school diploma or even on a college diploma. It's more important that your name be found in this book than in a Facebook search engine or on the Hollywood Walk of Fame or on the back of a football or a basketball or a baseball jersey or even on some great memorial in Washington, D.C. Let me tell you something. You can go to heaven without your name being found on those things, but you can't go to heaven if your name not found in this book. You can't go to heaven if your name not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so is your name in this book tonight? If it is, let me ask you this question now. Let me ask you this. Are you doing what is necessary to make sure it stays there? I ask you that question because remember, Jesus says that names can be removed. Jesus says that our names can be blotted out. Jesus says just because our names are there today doesn't automatically mean it's going to be there tomorrow. Doesn't automatically mean to be there the next hour or two. And so are you doing what is necessary to keep your name in the book of life? Are you constantly pressing forward and striving to grow in Christ? Are you striving to grow in your Bible knowledge? Are you striving to grow in your maturity? Are you striving to live a pure and holy life? Are you striving to do things like be faithful to your spouse? Are you striving to live an honest and ethical and moral life? Are you constantly striving to live by the divine pattern that's given in Scripture? Are you constantly striving to be a lover of truth? I ask you that because I can't begin to tell you how many people I've met, brothers and sisters, who've obeyed the gospel. They've done what God says. They become Christians. They get their lives right with Him. But as time goes by, they leave the truth. They leave the truth of the gospel. Maybe they go back to the world. Maybe they go back to denominationalism. They go back to worshiping with a church that's doing wrong. That's not doing what the Bible says. Does that describe you? You're a lover of truth. Are you a promoter of truth? Do you understand that Jesus says there is such a thing as truth? And are you always willing to stick with the truth and even teach the truth, even when your family members and your friends oppose it and live lives that are in clear contradiction to it? I ask you those questions because I believe that how we answer them, that is extremely critical to determining whether or not our names are going to stay in this book if we are the children of God. You see, it is God's desire that every person here tonight, and every person in the world for that matter, have their names in this book. In fact, that's exactly why Jesus came and died. Jesus came to this earth and died. He came here and suffered, not just so a few people can have their names in this book. He came here and died so that every person can have a chance to have their names in this book. He came here and suffered and bled and died a cruel death on a cross. He has done his part when it comes to this. Now we got to make sure we do our part. Now we got to make sure we serve Him, we honor Him, we love Him, we keep His commandments. You see, only when we're dedicated to Jesus with all our hearts can we live with the confidence of knowing that when the judgment day comes and the books are opened, everything's going to be okay. Now those are all the things I want to say to you tonight about the book of life, okay? As we get ready to go into our invitation song, if you sit there and you realize tonight that your name is not found in this book, then you have an opportunity to make it right with God tonight. So now you have an opportunity to obey the gospel for the first time. If you've never done that, or if you have done that, your name has been blotted out or removed, you have an opportunity to get it back in there before you leave this building. And so if there's anyone here tonight who needs to come to the Lamb, who has the book of life, Brother Scott's going to lead us in a song right here, right now. We'll help you with that as we stand and as we sing together.